Now to the book of Jonah, chapter 1 and verse 1. We start a new series today in this most interesting book, Powerful Declaration by God. Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1. And as we approach the teaching of God's word, let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that in ourselves we cannot understand, we cannot see, and we cannot know spiritual truth. And therefore we call upon you this morning that the Holy Spirit will teach us so that we can know, so that we can understand, and so that we can be brought under the authority of your holy word. Bless us to that end, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're thinking about the world as such, and what passage of Scripture might be best known through the years by all of society? Well, you certainly come up with Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd," and so on. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." But I wonder if it isn't Jonah, the character and the book, that is best known. Certainly the most criticized and chopped up and ripped up of all the books in the Bible. Many interpretations of this book, whether it's just allegorical, whether it's a parable or whether it's a literal, and my position is that it is literal, it is historical fact, it is an actual event in history. One time there was a little girl reading her Bible, and a man came along and asked her what she was reading. She says, "Well, I'm reading the book of Jonah." He says, "Well, you don't believe all that stuff in the book of Jonah, do you, about the fish and swallowing Jonah and Jonah coming out on the shore?" And she said, "Yes, I believe it all. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah all about it." And he said, "Well, what if Jonah didn't make it to heaven?" She said, "Well, then you can ask him." You think that over a little bit when it comes to the understanding. Let's first of all consider the man, Jonah. He's called a Hebrew prophet. He is known in history as bad luck. You know, you've heard the saying, "Oh, he's a Jonah, she's a Jonah," or something like that. And that comes out of the book, because the sailors on board that ship said the same thing. He's said to be the son of Amittai, and he lived in about the 8th century. And there isn't much recorded, just one other statement in the Old Testament about Jonah, but a most significant statement in the book of Matthew by Jesus. Let me read what he said, Matthew. "Then some of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law said to him," that is Christ, "Teacher, we want to see a miracle from you." He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, or sometimes sea monster, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here." Our Lord Jesus Christ acknowledges this historic event, that Jonah is real. Now, according to the book itself, we are not sure who the author might be. Some hold that it is Jonah himself. But as to the purpose of the book, it's very clear to reveal God's sovereignty over both the Jews and the Gentiles and over all creation. Now, as we approach the text, it's incumbent to say that Jonah is not the hero. It is God. And Jonah is an illustration of what God wants to teach us. Let's read Jonah chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard, sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo in the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take note of us and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble. What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he'd already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, "O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you please." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, you know the rest of the record, but this morning we're going to consider the truth in verses 1 to 3. And the outline is very apparent, breaks down easily. What we have is a divine command and the human rebellion. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. And we don't know the exact vehicle that God used to communicate. The fact is, he did. God spoke. He wasn't obliged to. He isn't obliged to communicate with us at all. But he is. And that's grace. God spoke to Jonah. A divine command. His command was, go preach. Two things. Go preach. That's the commission. That's the great commission in the New Testament. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so God comes with divine instruction, doesn't leave Jonah in confusion. He doesn't leave us in confusion in that he has communicated his truth through the scripture, which he has preserved for us until this September 7, 1997. We still have the Word of God. Now, what did he tell Jonah to preach? He said, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because their wickedness has come up before me. He did not tell Jonah, go and say God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. He said, go and preach judgment. Preach condemnation to these people. And go to Nineveh, a wicked city in the country of Assyria. Now, Assyria is the dominant nation in the world at that point. And Nineveh is on the Tigris River in the land which we now call Iraq. And it's a wicked capital city. And God says to Jonah, go and tell these people how wicked they are and that judgment awaits them. And this is God's command, simple and direct, and this is what he said to Jonah. Now, let's go to the second point, which is the human rebellion. Human rebellion. Now, the biblical word for rebellion is used over 100 times in the scripture. And the fact is this: what will a human being do with the authority and command of God? What will happen? Well, in Genesis 3, we have the first truth about that. What will Adam and Eve do with the direct command of God as to how to live and what to do and what not to do? Adam and Eve rebelled against God's command. And every human being since that time has rebelled, lived in rebellion against God's word. You and I are guilty of rebellion against God's word. You say, Bill, how do you know that? You don't know all that about me. Well, I read the Bible, and I read what God says, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach judgment. What will Jonah do? Well, here is a flat-out no, folks. The way we say it today is no way. I mean, Jonah is saying no way. And he ran away to flee from the presence of the Lord. Now, Jonah was acquainted with some of the Psalms, some of them had been written. And he knew something of God's attributes, that he is omnipotent, that he is omniscient, and that he is omnipresent, and that you cannot flee from the presence of the Lord. It doesn't matter where in the universe you might be, God's omnipresence is there. You cannot do it. How futile for Jonah or any human being to try to flee from the presence of the Lord. And so he goes down to the dock, and he finds a ship. And he's got the money in his wallet. And he can take it out, pay it, get the ticket. He got on board, and he sailed for Tarshish. Now, Tarshish is way over in Spain. That's a tough trip. Jonah didn't decide to do something easily. This is tough. It is far, far away across that sea. And Jonah did it. Jonah could have found the excuse and the alibi. Well, this is not so bad. Maybe this is God's will, after all. I want to go to Tarshish. Here's the ship. I got the bucks. They let me on board, and I'm sailing with them. This is God's will. Do we ever think that? Do we ever make excuses for ourselves to do something that is directly anti-biblical, that is selfish, the assertion of our own self over and above what God says, and we make excuses because there are favorable human circumstances? Is this God's will? Of course not. Let's be very careful that we do not make decisions on the basis of human circumstances and read that as the right thing to do. Now, I suppose that more books, more seminars have occurred on the subject of how to know God's will than any other thing. The second subject would be sex. So if you want to sell books and make movies and make money, you have conferences on how to find God's will or on sex. But how do we find God's will? And what is the prevalent primary resource for us in knowing God's will? It is this. It is the Word of God. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously. Over and over in the Old Testament, you find David with this statement about him. David inquired of the Lord. Now he was beset by enemies all around him, the Philistines, the Assyrians, and all of them. And he had questions about battle. Shall we go out and get them, or what shall we do? He inquired of the Lord. Is there something in our lives this morning requiring a direction, a decision? Let's inquire of the Lord and come to him and ask for help and admit that we don't have the wisdom needed. So we have this account, the book of Jonah, a very, very powerful direct statement about theological, doctrinal truth, about human events and how we live daily. God said, go. Jonah said, no. But we know that Jonah goes. Would you read with me, or just look at Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. So we have Jonah, on the ship, thrown in the sea. God prepared the sea monster. He's there 3 days and three nights, and he is cast out on the shore. Now, for chapter 3, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. You better mark that. Put a drop of blood or do something with that verse. If God doesn't come to us second times, third times, we are destroyed. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Now, every preacher in the country needs to read that. go and preach what? Your own philosophies? Your own ideas about religion? No, the message that God gives and nothing else. I was amused that just after the death of Michael Landon, the actor, that someone made a comment about him. He was so wonderful. He created his own religion. He's in trouble. The message of the gospel we believe and declare is God's word and God's word only. Go to Nineveh, give it the message I give you. So, here's Jonah. No way. Yet, he goes. God said, go. Jonah said, no. And God says, go again. And Jonah goes. Now, let's just back off and ask a few questions about that. What is going on here? Is this a contest between the Almighty, glorious Lord and a puny creature, human being? Is it a contest? Are we in a drama to see who will win? Is this an example of free will? Now, sad to say, this is what some people see of this. That they camp on the so-called free will of Jonah, which is not free will at all. Now, let's just do a little speculating and say, God has communicated to Jonah, and we have Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and they say, uh-oh, something's happened. Jonah won't obey. What are we going to do? We are going to have to come up with plan B. This just isn't working. Is that what's happening? Of course not. This is not a contest. God is never in a contest with anybody. He just plays out what will happen so that we understand that humans rebel against God, but God always prevails over them. This is not an illustration of free will. It's God's will that prevails. Now let's just talk to Jonah a bit. We have seen biblically recorded what happened here. And if Jonah were standing here this morning, we could say, Jonah, how could you do this? The sovereign God of heaven and earth, who could wipe you out like that, has spoken to you, given you a command, and you're saying, no, how could you do this? What possesses you to raise up against the Almighty God? Jonah, who do you think you are? You deserve God's judgment. Well, I want to say to you this morning, I am Jonah. I am a rebel against the Lord God. And I want to say to you, you are Jonah. Again, how do I know that? Well, God says it. I'm not making a discernment. I'm including all of us in the same boat, in the need of God's grace and mercy. We are Jonah and we are guilty, and God is gracious. He came to Jonah the second time, and he sent a message to the Ninevites, and they repented. This wicked people to whom God was gracious and merciful, and God is gracious to you and to me, And this is the great message in the book of Jonah, that God preserved Jonah through this difficult experience. And when we get to next week, we'll consider how Jonah looked and what was happening to him when he landed on the shore after being in this sea monster for 3 days and three nights. God preserved him. And God has preserved the gospel for us. And he has preserved a place in heaven for us. And he is preserving us for that place. Thank God for the great truth in the book of Jonah. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for how great you are, and that you revealed your sovereign will and power over Jonah, over all of us, and that you are gracious and merciful even to rebellious sinners, and that the death of Jesus Christ, our Lord, overcomes our rebellion, overcomes the condemnation we deserve, and gives us the salvation that justifies us in your presence. Thank you for the truth. Apply it to our hearts now in the power of the Holy Spirit of the living God. For Jesus' sake, amen.